Lecture topic, Ideal Father and Ideal Son, Part 2.
What more does it take for my hands not to pain when I disobey Allah? When will my hands shiver when I decide wrong? When will my body ache when I sleep beyond Fajr? When will that day come in my life? Do I need the earth beneath me to split? Do I have to see an earthquake with my own eyes? Must I see the tragic death of my beloved in front of me, then it will open my eyes? I ask you, think and reflect. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرِ Every man today has become complacent. Every man has become complacent. You know, he's sitting in the ideal soft spot that I have done enough for my salvation. I have done sufficient for my salvation. And he compares himself with people whom Allah has not made the basis of comparison. So I'm comparing my wife with my neighbor's wife, and my wife dons the hijab. She never puts the hijab, so my wife is pious. And I compare my son with my brother's son. My son knows how to read Quran. My brother's son doesn't know when last he performed salah, so my children are good. My brother, I have said this, and I say it, and I will continue saying it. Allah will not judge your wife with your neighbor's wife. Allah will match your wife with the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will match your children with the children of Sahaba. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِنْتَدَوْا If you produce the iman of Sahaba, you enjoy the ranks of Sahaba. That is the grading process. That is the measurement with which Allah will measure you. Those parents who stop their children from obeying Allah, I have seen with my naked eyes. Never mind the consequences in Akhirah. Those children grow up to rebel against those very parents. When your child wants to change his life and come out in the path of Allah and bring a change, don't be an obstacle, my brother. Don't be an obstacle, my father. You're now linking yourself with Allah. Now you're interfering with the system of Allah. Allah has clemency and Allah has grace and Allah has respite and Allah has a limit to it. And then when man trespasses that limit, then Allah says, I cease so suddenly. So, look at the situation of Ibrahim a.s. with his father. We spoke about Ibrahim a.s. as a father towards his son. How they both diligently complied. Let's reverse the situation. Ibrahim a.s. as a son to his father. Subhanallah. What a complete deen we enjoy. Again, painting the same picture that I said. Providing an atmosphere of deen. Ibrahim alayhi salam enjoys the privilege of being referred to as Abul Anbiya. It's not a prophet, but the father of prophets. Ibrahim alayhi salam enjoyed a very senior rank in the galaxy of prophets. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has referred to Ibrahim as my father Ibrahim. I am the result of the dua of my father Ibrahim. And I am the glad tidings of my brother Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, as the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explicitly says. On the contrast is the father of Ibrahim, who is just not an idol worshipper, but is an idol merchant. So you have two extremes here. One who has come to destroy idol worship, that is Ibrahim, and the father who is promoting idol worship. And he just doesn't have a passion to worship, but he has a passion because he's a merchant. For a person to stop listening to haram DVDs and that is more difficult when he's got a DVD shop, because that's his income. So now that's his success, you know, that is where he's getting his income. So now he'll give you even longer stories. So the father of Ibrahim was just not an idol worshipper, he was an idol merchant, which made the issue so much more complicated. But look at how Sayyidina Ibrahim speaks to his father, as the Quran paints the picture. إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا Oh, my respected, honorable, revered father, may I politely use the opportunity to ask you a question? Now, this is very important. This is very, very important that when we bring about a change in our environment, we do so very, very diplomatically. We do so accommodating the sensitivity of the situation. Look at the extremes here. Ibrahim being the close friend of Allah and the father being an idol merchant. Oh my father, my respected, honorable, revered father, lima, why? Ta'bud, you choose to worship. Ma la yasma, an object which cannot listen to you. Which is written in Tafsir al-Uthmani, that these objects were so helpless, that never mind they lacked the attributes of Allah, they were devoid of human qualities. They are devoid of human qualities, never mind being devoid of the attributes of the Almighty. In other words, humans are more senior to that. Why do you worship an object which cannot see you, which cannot hear you, which cannot benefit you? Ya abati qad ja'ani min al-'ilmi ma lam ya'tik. Oh my father, I have been favored with knowledge. I have been favored with knowledge. Such knowledge which you don't have. Fattabi'ni, so you will have to listen to me in the matters of deen. Ahdika siratan sawiyya, I will steer you to that in which lies the pleasure of Allah. Ya abati la ta'budi shaytan, inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiyya. Some great scholar said it very beautifully. He said, if the correct thing is said with the correct method and the correct intention, then without doubt it will have to make an effect. If the correct thing is uttered with the correct desire, aspiration, ambition, applying the correct methodology, the methodology has to be correct. Study the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again. Yeah, as parents we need to learn, as guardians we need to learn. And I can only but, you know, marvel at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. That what happened, that Sahabi says, I walked into the masjid after the prohibition of speech came about. And I was not familiar with it. So I joined the congregation, and while performing salah, I sneezed. And I said, Alhamdulillah, faramani al-qawmu bi-absarihim. So people started staring at me in salah. So I was performing my salah, and I didn't know that Allah had made speech forbidden. Initially it was permissible. So I told them, ma sha'anukum tanzuruna ilayya. What's wrong with you? Why are you looking at me? غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَبْضَوَانِهِمْ. So they said, shh. They indicated, keep quiet. So I kept quiet and I resumed my salah. After the salah was over, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَهَرَنِي وَلَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ. He did not embarrass me. He did not victimize me. He did not disgrace me. He did not ridicule me. May my parents be sacrificed for him. I swear by Allah, neither the skies nor the earth has seen a more noble tutor than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He politely called me forward. He gently passed his hand over me and he said, listen, my companion, Allah has now made speech forbidden in salah. That was all about what he said. Let us ask ourselves as parents, as guardians, evaluate our methodology. Nowadays we are living in, you know, they go for extramural and they go for this therapy and they go for this psychology and they have this lesson and they have this on, you know, we have underestimated the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We, if we revive in our schools and our institutions the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he convinced the most arch enemies, the most barbaric nation, he made them into guiding stars for humanity. Study his methodology, study his principles, his values. How did he disseminate? How did he convey knowledge? What was his approach? How passionate, how polite, how gentle he was. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if Allah had to give softness and gentleness a form and an appearance, then there would have been no creation more beautiful than softness. If Allah had to give softness and gentleness an appearance, a shape, and Allah had to make it tangible and physical, then there would have been nothing more beautiful than softness and gentleness. So Ibrahim alayhi salam tells his father, now we got to learn as children politeness to our parents, politeness to our parents. There are few sins that apart from what will happen in Akhirat, as in the hadith, you will suffer in this world. One is oppression. The system of Allah is that His help will come to rescue the oppressed. Allah's help will come to rescue the oppressed, even if he be a disbeliever. But Allah will respond to the plea of the oppressed. And the oppressor will suffer in this world. That is the system of Allah. Anybody who is oppressed will suffer the consequences, the repercussion, the negative consequences of that. And the second is a person who has snubbed his parents, who has insulted his parents, who has offended his parents. I'm afraid you will not die till you don't see the consequences of that, my brother. That is not my word, that is the system of Allah. The system of Allah in this regard is very, very unique. Those of us that our parents are alive, let us go back and beg of their forgiveness. Beg of their forgiveness while the opportunity stands. Ibrahim alayhi salam tells his father, Ya abati la ta'budi shaytan, inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiya. Oh my father, don't obey the devil. Don't obey the devil. The other day I was involved in a particular relation, child and parent, and the parent had maybe, I'm not saying parents are angels. That's not what I'm saying. Understand your obligation to your parents. That is what I'm saying. Whatever they have done, does it justify for me to take this approach? Is it correct for me to do this? No, not at all. Not in any way. Ya abati la ta'budi shaytan, inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiya. Oh my father, don't listen to the devil. The devil is a disobedient creation of the Almighty. Now, I gave you briefly, I ran you through the sentiments of Ibrahim, the passion of Ibrahim, the tenderness, the gentleness, and the interaction of Ibrahim with his father. Bearing in mind the issue is most critical, most intricate. What is it? The oneness of Allah. The father is a staunch disbeliever, nay an idol merchant. On the other side, Ibrahim is the Nabi of Allah. Look at the response of the father. Look at the arrogance of the father. Look at the harsh tone of the father. Look at the hostility, the aggression. What does the father say? قَالَ أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَاهْجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِي حَفِيًّا. Listen, Ibrahim, if you will not stop this, if you will not stop this, I will stone you to death. The next time you open your mouth and you talk about your Allah, I'll stone you to death. لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ. And then you study the emphasis. Most definitely I'll pelt you. وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. Leave me and get out. وَهْجُرْنِي. Leave me maliya for a period of time. How does Ibrahim alayhi salam respond? قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. Oh my father, may peace descend upon you. سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي. My love for you won't stop me from making dua that Allah must guide you. You are my father and I will respect you. I will stop inviting you because you're getting offended. But I will keep on making dua for you. إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِي حَفِيًّا. Verily my Allah is very kind. Hopefully He will respond to my dua. And hence Sayyidina Ibrahim made the dua for his father. وَغْفِرِ لِأَبِي إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الظَّالِّينَ وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. Oh Allah, forgive my father, he went astray. Forgive my father. As long as the father was alive, he made dua that Allah must guide him. But unfortunately, for whatever reasons, Allah knows best, he died in that condition. When he died in that condition, then as the Quran says, that مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. That it is not correct for a prophet nor for the believers to seek repentance on behalf of any non-Muslim once he has died. Once a person has died, then you cannot seek forgiveness for that person. In the hadith we learn that Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua to Allah, "Oh Allah, save me from the disgrace and the humiliation of the day of judgment." And there could not possibly be a greater humiliation than the humiliation and disgrace of the day of Qiyamah. People will get so desperate, I read, scholars have written, that when everybody will congregate and converge on the plane of resurrection, and at that time the heat will reach its climax. It will be, you know, scorching hot. It will be intense heat. Allah's anger will be at its pinnacle, and the creation will be in absolute chaos. People will feel so humiliated because of their embarrassment, that their sin is being exposed to the entire creation, that they will run around aimlessly to locate prophets, to ask those prophets respectively to intercede to Allah and tell Allah to arrange for our abode, even if it be hellfire, but get us out of here. Get us out of here. You know, a person is waiting. Now he's waiting for a connecting flight. And then they tell him, go in that lounge. And then they say, all right, we'll give you a coupon. And then they tell him, wait. And then they tell him, there's a technical problem. And then they say, we're just busy going through some passports. And a day passes by, and 2 days pass by, and three. In the end, you say, you know what, send me back to my country also. I don't mind, I'm better off. It's all right. I forget my holiday, my vacation, just get me back home. I cannot handle the stress. This is 2-3 days stress in a hotel, in an airport, in an air-conditioned environment. Here the Prophet of Allah says, the sun will be above you. فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. The day we young will age instantly. The day يَوْمٌ تَشَقَّقَتِ السَّمَاءُ لِهَوْلِهِ وَتَشِيبُ فِيهِ مَطَارِقُ الْوِلْدَانِ يَوْمٌ عَبُوسٌ قَمْطَرِيرٌ شَرُّهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مُنْتَشِرٌ عَظِيمُ الشَّانِ. As the Quran describes it, تَشَقَّقَتِ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا. A cloud will descend. This cloud will be surrounded by angels. In this cloud will be the countenance of Allah. And this will be the signal of the commencement of accountability, which will just add to the pain and the agony of the disobedient servants. The siren has come. The bell has rung. This cloud will descend, surrounded by angels, coupled with the countenance of Allah, which will signal the commencement of accountability. What will happen? فَتَرَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِي. They will get desperate. So it comes in the hadith to save Ibrahim from the disgrace of the day of Qiyamah. Allah Pak will change the appearance of his father. Allah will change the appearance. This comes in authentic hadith. Because the father died disbelieving in Allah, so his abode will be hellfire, as the Quran says. But then to accommodate the sentiments of Ibrahim, that none recognizes the father of Ibrahim, and that would add to the pain of Ibrahim, so Allah will change the appearance and change the shape of the father of Ibrahim, so nobody will identify him as the father of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So what I was stressing upon, brothers, is look at the passive interaction, look at the gentle relation of the son to the parents. Again, you look at the case that the Prophet ﷺ said with regards to the mother, subhanallah, what things did the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ exhort us? He was sitting with his sahaba, and one woman comes, he stands up, he spreads his sheet and his cloth, and he tells that woman to sit down, and with great respect he entertains her. So one sahabi says, I was very close by, and I really admired the hospitality this woman enjoyed in the court of the Prophet ﷺ. So I kept my companion next to me, and I asked him, who is this woman? Who is she? Why does she enjoy such a privilege? So that sahabi told me, this woman suckled the Prophet ﷺ when he was a little child. And because of that, he shows so much respect to her. Because of that, he shows her so much respect, because she suckled him, she nursed him. That is the level of respect. One scholar said, "Man afa walidayhi lam yara surur min waladihi." That person who disobeys his parents will never see joy from his offspring. That person who disobeys his, look at the stern word. The hadith I quoted in the beginning, عِفُّوا عَنْ نِسَاءِ النَّاسِ تَعِفُّ نِسَاءُكُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't cast a nasty glance on a strange woman, and Allah will save your woman folk from the nasty glances of strange men. Look at the formula. Don't cast a nasty glance on any strange woman, and Allah will save your mother, your wife, your sister, your daughter from the nasty glances of strange men. وَبِرُّوا أَبَاءَكُمْ تَبُرُّكُمْ أَبَنَاءُكُمْ. And be loyal and faithful and dutiful to your parents, and Allah will make your children loyal, faithful and dutiful. Really, that's the only way. That's the only thing on which you can have your hopes attached. There's no perfect parent. If parenting was the right way and the exclusive way, and I had the formula or he had the formula, then I give you a typical scenario. You know, never mind the fact that it works with your children, that method, and it doesn't work with my children. We see one couple, they have three children, they apply the same method with all three, one becomes the friend of Allah and one becomes the friend of Shaitan. If it was your parenting exclusively, then you raised them equally, you gave them equal opportunities, you provided them with equal platforms. Why is it that one became obedient and one became diligent, one became delinquent? How did this happen? How did this happen? This again tells you that it's not exclusively your parenting that will shape your children, your skills, your know-how, your capabilities. No, no, ask yourself, how loyal was I to my parents? That I expect loyalty from my children. How faithful was I to my parents? How many times didn't I hurt? How many times didn't I hurt? You know, one father told me this year, elderly man, and he says, Sheikh, I think of this and I only cry. I was sitting in my house, married, and my mother walked in. My mother walked in. Now my wife had a passion that, you know, this, the house is carpeted, and nobody must walk with their shoes on the carpet. And, you know, I respected the passion of my wife. I respected the passion of my wife, and we used to respect it, myself and the children. As soon as we enter, we would take off our shoes. But he says, and he cried, and he says, I cannot talk anymore because when I think, it's like it stabs me in my heart. So one day, my mother walked in. Allah fill her grave with nur, he tells me she's late. And then my wife makes a nasty remark, and she tells me that, see your mom, she's walking with her shoes. And he says, like a fool, like a silly person, I don't know where my brains went, and I started making side comments, and I told my children, take your shoes off, take your shoes off, don't walk with shoes. And not realizing, I'm making these remarks to my mother. I'm making these, was my house too clean? Was my floor too pure? Was my mother's feet too dirty, beneath which Allah said is Jannat? The feet beneath which Allah said is Jannat, and I'm making comments to my mother to take off, just to accommodate the sentiments of my wife. And my poor mother got the message, and she took off her shoes, and she walked in, and I thought I won the situation, and I thought I accomplished it. It only took her death for me to realize how I have failed miserably. He says, when I think of this, I cry non-stop. I think to myself, could I stoop so low? I ask you, my brother, sometimes for your fiancé, sometimes for your wife, sometimes for your degree, sometimes for your pressure, sometimes for your peers, sometimes for your spouse. I know not what are the reasons you snub your mother, you insult your mother, you offend your mother. Believe me, if she sighs with pain, never mind you, I'm afraid for the generation that is to come from you. If she sighs with pain, I'm afraid for your generation onwards. If you have come to America against the wishes of your mother, you know what is better for you, I won't tell it to you. I was in Australia, I said it there. I was in Canada, I said it there. I'm in America, I say it to you again. If you have hurt your parents and have come here, I'm afraid you're losing even if you own a house in the heart of California. Have their blessings, have their duas, have their well wishes. You will see money from avenues you don't perceive. You will see blessings that are inconceivable. You will see joy that is cannot be comprehended. And I'm afraid if you have hurt their heart and you made them sigh with pain, then the consequences of that is going to be very, very severe. That Sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can I join you in battle? He says, you have a mother, Fujahid, go and serve your mother. That's your Hajj also, that's your Umrah also, that's your Jihad also. That's your everything. Go and sit by her side. Talk to her, bring joy to your mother. Undoubtedly, servitude goes more to mothers. Respect goes more to fathers. This is how the scholars explain it. We are obligated to serve our mothers more. And we are obligated to respect our fathers more. As fathers here, we can appreciate what our parents go through. The other day this happened to me and I shared it at many venues and I share it with you. My children, my sons told me to buy something. And you know, if your child is waiting for you outside, then he's waiting for what he wants. Otherwise, when he's got time to wait for you when you come back? If he's waiting for you outside anxiously with anxiety, then he's waiting for the thing that, you know, you promised. Well, I guess that's a child. And that's the innocence of a child. And we need to respect the innocence of a child. What a ni'mat of Allah. We are so engulfed in materialism, and here it's to a higher degree. Again, I repeat what I'm saying. For Allah's sake, come out of these bonds and learn to rent. What harm? What harm? House you want to buy in Jannah? House you don't rent in Jannah. There you buy a house. Here you rent. Those that owned it also die. Those that don't own it also die. Those that live in Chicago also go. Those that live in the Bay Area also go. Whether you own here or there, we're all going. إن أنا لم أفز بمراد سعي وكم من حسرة تحت التراب. The poet says, okay, you got your degree, I didn't get my degree. You owned your palace, I didn't own mine. What's the difference? Go to the grave and see how many dead people, what aspirations they took. Some took the aspiration of a degree, some took the aspiration of this, I took the aspiration of a house. So you enter as a professional, I enter as a layman, but then we meet the angel of death in the same way. We meet him in the same way. So how do you buy in Jannah? If you own in this world, I have no problems, by all means. Buy with your halal earnings. But I cannot comprehend here the difficulty in renting. Back home in South Africa, I'm not saying that, you know, people are not bonded. But alhamdulillah, I don't think, or unless then I'm naive. Then I'm playing naive here, I don't know. But not to such an extent. I don't think it's an epidemic and a pandemic to such an extent and to you know, such proportions. In everything, in, you know, this of life and that of life. So what I'm saying is children is such a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Such a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And because of our crave of materialism, we forget the child. The child's years are passing by. He's growing up, his smiles, his innocence, his beauty. It's just passing us through. Because my passion is I need to pay off this house and I'm getting another job. And this child is just growing. And this gift of nature is passing my eyes without me taking out time for it. And it's just passing by. And he will come to me as long as he needs me. So he'll ask me till there is a dependence. After that he has no time for me. You will know of cases in your country better than I can tell you. Where children came to an age and they said, that's the end of our parents. They didn't have time when we needed them. Now we don't have time when they need us. That is the reality. So we got so engrossed and engulfed and enveloped in this and that, in this fuss and that, grab this, secure this, arrange this, buy this, dispatch this, we got to get this here. And you study the system. Look at the solar calendar. Every month has an event. And it exhorts you to spend. So earn, incur and spend. This month is this function. Next month is that function. Then it's that. So every month is, you know, bring people into the world and make them earn and work. And this gift of nature is just passing through your eyes. The smile of a child, subhanAllah, is the priceless gift of nature. You know, you can come home tired, exhausted, overpowered, and then you look at the innocence of a child, and he's playing with his little toy, and that's the entire world around him. And you just look at the children and their innocence, children's innocence, subhanAllah. I was driving now back home, and then I had a puncture, so I stopped on the road. Now look at the innocence of a child, and just then a truck passes by, you know, that was transporting tires. So my son says, Dad, I think they came for us. I just stop him, maybe he'll give us one tire. Look at how many he has. According to a child, life is so easy. Like, it's so simple, like, you know, it's so, it can be so coordinated. Then, the other day, I took the children out to buy some food. So, you know, as they have the fast foods, you know, buying this and that. So the food took a bit long. So my son says, they must change the name. It's not fast food, it's slow food. What I'm saying is, you know, children's innocence, their innocence, how they play. So Hassan radiallahu anhu gets onto the shoulder of my Nabi. He jumps onto the back of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Ali radiallahu anhu walks in and he says, Ni'mal Markab. Oh Hassan, you got a nice vehicle today. You got a nice car. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam just looks at Ali and he says, Ni'mal Rakib. And see what a nice passenger I have. That person who went so close to Allah, ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. That even Jibreel could not journey beyond, but he can humble himself so simple that his grandson can sit on his back and he takes his grandson around his house. And today I am, you know, Mr. So-and-so. I have this degree and that qualification. And it's, you know, I don't play like that with children. It's below my dignity. And the master of both the worlds could kneel down and put Hassan radiallahu anhu on his back. So that very Hassan radiallahu anhu says, when the Prophet Hassan passed away, he was barely 6 years old. But you see that Hassan radiallahu anhu at that tender age conveys to us at least 5 ahadith. Parts of our rulings, which are deduced from the quotations of Sahaba, narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with those quotations which was narrated by Hassan radiallahu anhu. He said, I heard my grandfather saying, I heard my nana saying, Dah ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. While we were playing and we used to be sitting there, I know my grandfather Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always used to teach us, whatever is doubtful, leave it and shun it and do things in which there's no doubt. So a little child, while playing in the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, secured a hadith from the tongue of the master of both the world and conveyed it to the ummah, for which reward continues till the day of Qiyamah. What a brilliant time for us to teach our children. The car, while we are driving, what a nice time to sit and teach our children. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam puts Abdullah ibn Abbas behind him, and he says, Ya ghulam, u'allimuka kalimat. While they're riding, they're talking. And he says, listen. And you study this hadith, it is one of the most comprehensive yet voluminous ahadith. Comprehensive yet voluminous. Listen, little boy, come, I teach you a few things. He's riding behind. Ihfadillaha yahfadka. You protect Allah and He'll protect you. Protect Allah's deen and He'll protect you. And Nabi Sassam told him, this is riding. Now while you're moving, how much we can impart to them while we are moving? But then we need to listen to music. And we need to listen to the latest bulletin. And what's the latest score? And what's the latest in the, you know, in the currency market? And what did it close at in New York? And what this and what that? We have those passions. We have those passions. And then our mobile is ringing. And we're talking to this son and we come here, so then our children, they're going to do other things. They're going to be doing other things. Hence the poet says, there are two orphans and both need your sympathy. One is the child who literally loses his biological father. And one is that child who has parents but is deprived of the love of parents. The orphan says, that the poet says, he's also an orphan. Also rub a hand of mercy on that orphan, who despite having a father is deprived of the shadow of a father. So coming back to what I was saying, I came home and my children were waiting, anxiously anticipating what they wanted. And you know, I had a busy day and I had 10 things on my head and I just could not possibly do it. I tried my level best, but it does not happen. And as I get off the car, obviously the first one comes and the second one and the third one and asking, and I said, you know, I did not do it. And there goes the tantrums and they crying and yelling and, you know, you don't buy and you don't like and you don't do in the usual. And then I thought to myself, I said, Ya Allah, will the children only know what a day I had? What a long, tiring, exhausted day, you know, how busy it was. And then Allah be my witness, I thought for a moment, I said, no, this is not the time for me to tell my children, do you know what I went through? This is the time for me to realize, I'm sure I had done the same to my father. And how many times this must have happened in my father's life, that I had put pressure on him, knowing not his financial means, knowing not his social responsibilities, knowing not his commitment, the budget. I knew nothing. All I wanted was what I said. And I went home and I made namaz and I picked up the phone and I phoned my dad and I cried. And I said, if today will not make me appreciate you, then when will I ever appreciate you? If today is not the day that it will strike reality to me, that obviously, you see, the problem with us is that we only relate back to an age that we can recall. So we say that, yes, you know, I was naughty in when I was 15 and 16, to the point that we can recall. We forget from the time we were born, we grew up till 15 also. We cannot relate to that, we cannot recall. So we forget the challenges our parents went in nursing us from the time we were born, nay, from the time our mother conceived us. From the time, every mother will tell you her pain. Every pregnancy sets a woman 5 years back. And every woman, it tolls on her health differently. Every child goes through a different pain. My mother always tells me when she bore me, she had a certain gland which was, pus would accumulate in it. And every week she had to go to the doctor and it had to be cut out and the pus would come out. Every mother would tell you, you know your story, I know my story. The Quran says the fact that your mother carried you is sufficient to justify your perpetual obligation to your mother, not till the day she dies, but till the day you die. So this thing has to bring about consciousness upon us. It has to strike reality upon us. Wherever Allah speaks about kindness towards obedience to Allah, immediately thereafter Allah speaks about kindness to parents. Allah speaks about kindness to parents. I leave you with one incident. We are living in a world that unfortunately everything is viewed very materialistically. This is a sad reality that the pretext of wealth has to be used also to attract people to deen. So, you know, you tell a person of a particular prayer and the reward and the virtue and the merit, he absorbs it, digests it, but it doesn't impress him. But tell him if you do this, the potential growth of your business will multiply. Then he will ask you, Sheikh, how do I make the wudu for that prayer? And what should be the surahs in that particular salah? Why? Because now it attracts, you know what, now you're talking something. Today it's just, I was now in Australia, so they were telling me of a case that this divorce happened, I believe here also, and then the house goes, the first thing happens. Anyway, this woman, after the divorce went through, she did not claim the half the estate of her husband. She claimed half of what he owns and half of the potential growth of his business in the next 10 years. Now that was the first time I heard of a person that a man is hoping that his business goes down. She claimed half of the potential growth because she says it was my support that brought him where he is. So whatever he will make is because of the initial investment, the moral support that I offered to him. So half of not what he owns, of his potential growth. You know, and the other half I guess will go to the poor lawyer. Or will go to not the poor lawyer, the rich lawyer, the poor husband. So that is the reality that is happening today. Anyway, so what I'm saying is everything is, you know, materialistic. Everything has become... It has become a world of absolute materialism. Absolute materialism. Those that have one, those that don't have one. Everybody wants. This is the order of the day, the cry of the hour, the slogan of the moment. That can I make more? Can I make more? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Himamuhum butunuhum." A time will come man will only know two things, his belly and his lust. His belly and his lust. How true are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? يَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ يَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ. They love like how animals, they love, so many people love the whole week to party in the weekend. To become sober in the beginning of the week, to earn to party in the weekend. What is party? Womanizing, drinking, making sin. That is life. How narrow a life, how shallow a life, how meaningless a life, if that is the only goal of your life. And you have nothing more beyond that, no morals, no desires, no ethics. Anyway, there was a murder that took place in Bani Israel. In a nutshell, I'll run you through this thing. There was a murder in Bani Israel, so they came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that, look here, there's been a murder here. So Musa alayhi salam made dua to Allah. Allah Ta'ala told them that, oh Musa, tell them to slaughter one cow, and then take a piece of the dead cow and strike it on the dead man, and the dead man will stand up and he will say who has killed him, and then he will die again. Obviously this was exclusive, a miracle of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. It doesn't mean anyone dies and you want to find out the murderer, you start slaughtering cows. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَّا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. So Musa alayhi salam tells them, listen, you slaughter the cow and then you take a piece of flesh and strike it on the dead man and he will stand up. So they start arguing with Musa alayhi salam and they say, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. Now today we have the inquisitorial nature, as they say, the logistical approach. Give us the logistics of everything. It doesn't click with my logic. Everything is viewed through logic. And that is very detrimental for your faith. It is very, very harmful for your faith. The Prophet ﷺ says in the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, and unfortunately this is it, you know, the inquisitive mind. I'm not saying you mustn't ask, but there are limits. You must inquire, you must find out. The Prophet ﷺ says, what is the approach of the devil? He comes to you and he tells you, who created this? So you say, without doubt, Allah created it. Then he points to the sky and he says, who created the sky? So you say, Allah. So then he asks, who created the waters? Then you say, Allah. Then the devil says, فَمَنْ خَلَقَ اللَّهِ. The answer for everything is Allah. Let's get now to the deep of everything. Who created Allah? Now I'm afraid that's the pattern of thoughts I sense here. The questions, I don't have a problem. You know, you're entitled. But this approach of asking, questioning, getting to the depth of everything, that is very detrimental to Iman. Understand everything through logic. Understand everything through logic. So this great scholar was traveling, and then someone tells him, doctor sitting next to him, and tells him that, tells the scholar that, yeah, you say there's Allah. Where's Allah? Show me where's Allah. So he tells the doctor, you say there's sugar in the body, right? Now we're having tea, I won't use sugar. Give me some sugar, I put it in this cup. And I'll sweeten my tea. So he says, no. Actually, the sugar is there. He's dumbfounded, he cannot speak. So who said seeing only is believing? You have to see to believe. There are so many things we believe in, but we haven't seen it. We believe there's sugar in our dish. There's more things that we believe in theory. There are so many countries I haven't visited, you haven't visited. But you know it shows on the map and people speak about it and you believe it exists, but you haven't seen it. The whole world tells you it exists, you hear about it, so you trust it. So, thus that everything has to be evaluated through logic. The Prophet ﷺ says, then the devil says, فَمَنْ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ? Who created Allah? That we talked about, and then what happens? You become atheist and agnostic. And now you find that this is growing, it's gaining momentum. It's gaining momentum amongst people. Oh, well, religion, it's just a casual thing, I don't really believe in anything. And the earth, the planet earth is becoming devoid of spirituality, regardless of any faith. Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, I trusted every person. If it was a Muslim, his iman would compel him to be honest. If it was a non-Muslim, the atmosphere was too clean to lie. So I could trust a believer or a disbeliever. The believer, his faith would compel him, the riwayat comes in Bukhari. And the disbeliever, the atmosphere was too clean, he would have been exposed. Today you cannot trust anyone. So people are becoming atheists and agnostic. One says there's nothing known about the existence of God, and the other one says there's no God. In hiya illa hayatuna ad-dunya namutu wa nahya wa ma yuhlikuna illa ad-dahr. In hiya illa hayatuna ad-dunya namutu wa nahya wa ma yuhlikuna illa ad-dahr. This is life. We live and we die, and it is the times that cause our death. It's the times, the era, the moments, you know. So it cannot be attributed to any power. The times are like that. They attribute it to all physical cause and reason. And that is the scientific mentality, cause and effect. We don't deny. As Muslims, we don't have a problem with the Big Bang Theory, through which scientists believe that the world came into existence. But we say that the Big Bang Theory happened through the will of Allah. That's all we have to say. So this is how it translated and manifested. But it was motivated by the will of Allah. Nothing happens by itself. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. We don't have a problem in believing in the Big Bang Theory. That it was one ball and a large explosion happened and this happened. The Quran tells us in the 24 juz of the Quran, how Allah created the skies and the earth and the rivers and the lakes and the mountains. فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ اِتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. Allah then focused His countenance to the skies while it was smoke. And Allah said, take the shape of a sky. And Allah looked at the earth and He said, take the shape of the earth. And it became instantly into skies and earth. إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. Allah says, after I created the skies and the earth, then I presented my commandments to the skies and the earth, and I told them, you will have to obey me. So salat you will perform, zakat you will discharge. فَأَبَيْن, they all collectively declined. وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا, they said, Allah, we will not able to bear the weight of obeying you. حَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, man said, Allah, leave it to us, we'll do it. Man came forward and he said, Allah will do it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Man came and he took on the responsibility. This verse tells us that Allah presented His commandments to the various creations, but they declined given the fact that it's a mammoth task. The Quran says it is mammoth. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا سَقِيلًا. It is colossal, it is heavy, it is weighty. Nonetheless, I'm digressing, coming back to the incident, and I wrap up the program. So they tell Sayyidina Musa that what's the logic of killing a cow and getting the identity of a murderer? Give us more description of the cow. قَالَ ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّنْ لَنَا مَا هِيَ. قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ. قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا فَارِضٌ وَلَا بِكْرٌ. Musa Islam tells Allah, these people want more clarity on the cow. So Allah says, tell them it must be a cow of middle age, not young, not old, middle age. Musa Islam comes back to them and says, let us slaughter a cow of middle age. Qaduduna rabbaka yubayyin lana ma lawnaha. What about the color, Musa? You didn't tell us the color. Innahu yaqulu. Now, let me tell you, we might be frowning on them, but the mentality of today is no different. You tell them this, they come with that answer. You give them this, they counter that argument. Today everybody wants this year, they're asking you this reasoning and that logic and this mas'ala. And what is the proof of this year? And who said this is possible? And so one person said that, you know what, if I'm on the moon, which direction must I face and perform salah? I tell him, you're not reading namaz on land, where are you going to read on the moon? Read the earth first, man. You want to know direction on the moon, but you're not making namaz on earth. You know, you're not making salah on earth and he's asking for direction on moon. That is it, nobody wants to do anything today. Nobody wants to do anything. But I asked this question to many scholars and nobody could answer me. Because your question is wrong. You know, and there's like an air about it. I silenced many scholars on this here. Sheikh, let me ask you, never mind. I said, no problem, add it to your numbers, at least it will show your numbers more. You ask 500 now, instead of 459, you know, or 499. Say you ask 500. Make yourself happy, what else? That is the world in which we are living. Just want to impress. So you go to your brother's house, he says, now he wants to give little Zamzam water. So tell your son to give Zamzam. So he says, Ibrahim, just bring that zamzam of mine from my 9th Hajj. Do I need to know you made 9 Hajj? You know, last week when we went for our 11th Umrah, man, I brought that date. Still bring it. Okay, my brother, you made 11 Umrahs and 9 Hajj. You happy? One brother's house I went to, I see he's got his Hajj card with his image. I said, what, you going to show the angels in the cover? I'm a pilgrim. I'm a pilgrim here, I'm a Hadi. Subhanallah. What do we want? What do we get from this? What are we achieving? It's a world of showing, impressing. My Allah needs to be happy and I'm done. Believe me, my Allah is happy, I'm done. What did the poet say? That if the entire creation becomes angry with me, but you are happy with me, my Allah, I am satisfied. And if the whole world considers me a celebrity, and they, you know, blow my name up, and on my death they give me a state funeral, and they get all high profile diplomats and heads of states all landing in to come and pay respects to the late person, to the late descendant. That's the world. When he's living, he's like this and he's like that, and after he dies, he was a kind man to his nation. He did a lot for his people. Until today, what was being said about him? He was something else. And when he dies, you know, just to give it a nice political flavor, and all head of states come and pay their respect. Believe me, if you live in a jungle and you die in a jungle and nobody knows your name, but the angels are familiar with your name. The angel in the heavens are familiar with your name. And Jannat has been decorated on your desk. And nobody knows you when you lived and when you died. You are successful, my brother. What did Nabi alayhi salam tell Abu Zar? Oh, Abu Zar, where you'll die? How you'll die? You'll die in one mountain, oh Abu Zar, and some travelers will be passing by. They'll come close and they will come and perform your ghusl and do your burial. Abu Zar was in the throes of death and there comes the caravan. He said, my moments are last. My Nabi told me I'll die deserted in this land. This caravan that is coming in this group is the prophecy of my Nabi. But Abu Zar is that one that Jibreel said he was more famous on the heavens than the earth. So really, it's time we need to be recognized by Allah. We recited today in the Quran, فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ That Yunus alayhi salam jumps into the water, the fish comes and swallows him. So from the depth of the water, he makes dua to Allah. So Allah asked the malaika, do you know who's this making dua in the center of the ocean? So the angel says, صَوْتٌ مَعْرُوفٌ مِنْ بِلَادٍ غَرِيبًا Allah, we're familiar with the voice, but we're not familiar with the location. The voice is familiar, but the place is not familiar. So Allah said, this is my servant Yunus. So they said, Allah, Yunus, your prophet? So Allah said, yes, Yunus, my prophet. I commanded the fish to swallow him. They said, Allah, if it is him, then we collectively intercede, rescue him. He is very pious. Every day he makes dua to you. We hear his sound and we are familiar. The angels collectively interceded for Yunus and then Allah released Yunus. Why? Because he was familiar by the angels. Our contacts are till this world. I got a contact here, I got a contact there, I know someone in this department, I know someone in this office, I know someone at this place here. Upstairs, unfortunately, we're more familiar with the angels of Jahannam than Jannat. عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرَ عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرَ Allah says, I got 19 angels in charge of hell that will control hell in totality. I've got 19 angels. فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَهُ سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَةِ فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَهُ سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَةِ Abu Jahl said, I'm calling my army and I'm coming. Allah said, tell him to call his army. I'm calling my malaika. I'm calling my angels. So we need to familiarize ourselves. Familiarize ourselves with the angels. They are the ones that will respond. The same will, my time is going. I don't know how long I'm speaking also. Anyway. These people kept on asking question upon question, question upon question. Then they said, okay, Musa, you told us the age, you told us the color. But give us more. There are a lot of angels that are yellow and middle-aged. Tell us more. قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة لا ذلول تثير الأرض ولا تسقي الحرث مسلمة لا شية فيها قالوا الآن جئت بالحق فذبحوها وما كادوا يفعلون. Okay, then Musa alayhi salam said, Allah says it must be a cow that is not used for farming purposes. They said, Musa, now you make sense. Now you make sense. فَذَبَحُوهَا, they slaughter it. وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ, it wasn't looking like they were going to slaughter. Anyway, they start searching. So they find a cow, it's yellow, but it's not middle-aged, so it's not going to help. They find a cow, it's yellow and it's middle-aged, but it's used for farming purposes. Doesn't help. They hunt, they search, still deep in the desert. They find one young, poor boy who has a cow that is young, middle-aged, has no flaw, complies with the precise description as given by Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. They said, this is the man. So they come to this boy, they said, we want to buy the cow from you. This boy said, no, I don't want to sell it. They said, we'll pay any price. He said, you'll pay any price? No problem. How much gold can fit in the carcass of this cow? That's the price of this cow. They were desperate. You know how many tons of gold could fit the size of that cow? He said, I don't want to sell it. You're desperate to buy it. I'm going to make my price. They said, whatever is your price. Now, if they had to agree initially, any cow would have sufficed. But as they became difficult, Allah made things difficult for them. But as things were becoming difficult for them, Allah was extending the sustenance of someone else. So, you know, when it gets winter, I say it's cold, one friend of mine says, Mana, at least someone will buy my blankets now. You know, winter also, Allah has His wisdom in His seasons, at least we can make some money. So whatever it is, you know, nowadays the commercial world is waiting for every change. Every change, from hot to cold, from windy to sunny. If it's sunny, we'll sell you caps. If it's windy, we'll sell you coats. Whatever it is, we've got something to put on the market. And we can make an extra dollar in that and make an extra pound. The commercial world is waiting to thrive and strive on whatever it is. So anyway, they give him so much gold. Now a person who owned one cow overnight became a cattle farmer. A man who owned one cow overnight became a cattle farmer. You open Tafsir Uthmani under the commentary of this verse, it is written, this young lad that was sitting there and was so poor, Allah Ta'ala directed the description of this cow as the cow he owned. And Allah overnight made him a multi-millionaire. He became a wealthy person. And Allah gave him this reward simply because he was kind to his mother. That was the reward, and that is the reason why I shared this with you. Because of the loyalty to his mother, this is how Allah multiplied his wealth. So let me conclude and say, my brother, while your mind tells you now and your logic tells you that I'm on this bank and I've got this house and I'll sell it after 5 years and then I'll return 200,000 and I'll make a quick 100 and your mind is operating, come out of this bond now and make tawbah to Allah. And you pledge in this gathering, you are going to go and serve your parents. And then you will see how Allah will multiply your money through halal sources, through correct sources, with ease and comfort, providing you with healthy time, family time, social time, religious time, earning you the blessings of your parents, and giving you a lot of dua, giving you a lot of dua. Mufti Taqi Uthmani, a world-renowned scholar, he shared this example of his own personal example. He said, there was once I was about to leave for Hajj, and then my dad told me that, you know what, my health is not very good, who was a world-renowned scholar also, we all know him, that you stay behind, nurse me, and I will really appreciate it. So he said, at that time I saved up, I was about to go, I had a passion to go for Hajj, and I was on the verge of going, and my father held me back, and he told me this. So I said, Dad, if that's your choice, I will respect it. And my father said, serve me, my son, and you will see many Hajj after this. You will see many Hajj. He said, with the grace of Allah, I stayed back and I served my father. It's that day and this day, a year hasn't passed without an Umrah. And decades have passed. Allah alone knows, twice a year I go and visit the Holy Land. So sacrifice this little thing. Stay with your parents. Go back to your country if that is their choice. Delay whatever your choices are and take their du'as and take their blessings. And then you will see Allah will give your generations. May Allah Ta'ala reward our parents a befitting reward. grant them a good abode, those of them that have left this world. I have one request from these brothers. Many people come and express their happiness, make dua for my parents. Make dua, I have a sincere request, make dua for my parents and my children. May Allah Ta'ala guide them and guide all our children. May Allah reward my parents, a befitting reward. Really brings tears to my eyes for the wonderful upbringing. And I have said this year, I've said it to my father and I've said it at many venues. There was a time in the initial stages of my studies, like any child, sometimes, you know, truancy gets into you and you want to abandon your studies and, you know, that gets into your mind, and so did I plan. And Allah reward them for the wonderful upbringing they gave me, and they encouraged me and they told me, go ahead, my son. I can still remember that day. I was still perhaps in my second year and I said, no, I'm enough and I want to leave, and I got a different plan. And my dad held me and he gently rubbed his hand over me and he pet me and he encouraged me and he said, go ahead, my son, there is a great future. Go ahead, there is a great future. May Allah reward him for his encouragement and his exhortation and the kindness with which they raised me. I am the greatest sinner of Allah. I have often said it. If it wasn't a sin of Allah, if it wasn't a sin to tell you my sins, I would have told you how evil I am. Believe me, if I tell you how evil I am, you would have never taken the time to sit here and listen to me. But if I tell you of my sins, I'll be committing another sin and I don't need more sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, to speak of your sins is a sin. So, I know my sins. I know my sins. And really, we need to come to that point in our life that the praises of people mustn't flatter us. We have to mature this. How can it flatter us when I know what I am? Why doesn't my wife respect me? Because she knows little more about me what others don't know. I don't mean my wife disrespects me, before you get the wrong understanding. But what I'm saying is, your wife is not going to stand and, you know, salute you and have that. She has seen a half more which others haven't seen. And there's still another dark half which even she hasn't seen, only my Allah knows. She has only seen half darkness which others haven't seen. There is another darkness, and that is what is in this heart this very moment, and that only the being above me knows. So really, the time has come, we don't get flattered by the praises of people, we don't get conceited. If somebody comes to my Toyota and he says, Mashallah Sheikh, you have a beautiful BM, I will tell him, my friend, instead of me getting thrilled by what you say, you know very little about cars. That is what I will tell you. Instead of me getting impressed that, you know, at least somebody calls it a BM or someone calls it a Ferrari, or I go put on a nice 5-3-I-5, you know, series badge behind and I thrill myself with it, or I take my car and I put a BM badge on it, you know, so people, oh, mashallah, the Sheikh is driving a beautiful car, you know. Where am I getting? Where am I getting when I know my car's speed and I know my car's performance? Really, my brother, you don't know much about cars. If you are praising me, you don't know much about me. That's what I have to tell you. If you are praising me, I swear by Allah, you don't know much about me. Don't be deceived by what I say. My Creator knows how sinful I am and how much. And I say this, not before you. I have said it to my wife. I've said it in the dead of night. I've said it while tossing on my bed. I've said it before my Allah. Allah, you have veiled my wrong. And this creation have these ideas. I say what Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, Allah, make me better than what they think of me. And don't punish me for the good hopes they have about me, Allah. That was the dua of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that we return from here as different humans. We beg for the forgiveness of our parents. Go and hug them, rub their feet, sit in their company, take their duas. You will see through their duas. Routinely, I say this here and I encourage others with the grace of Allah. Every time before I speak, obviously when I'm abroad it's difficult, but going back home in South Africa, before every lecture I must phone my mother and tell her I'm speaking and request her du'as. With the grace of Allah, this has carried on for years, till today, be it a Jummah lecture, be it an occasion, before I get to the masjid I will phone her and say, Ma, I will be speaking in the next 15 minutes, I request of your humble du'as. And I try my level best before speaking to go and do some act of khidmat. And through the barakat of that, Allah has showed me such things that I will run into hours if I describe that. I don't say that to trumpet myself, but I say that to share my experiences so that it can encourage someone else also. Take the dua of your mother before you go to work, my brother. bring joy to your father before you leave to your surgery, and you will see the blessing. Allah grant us all the tawfiq. Recite dua. Recite Durood Sharif. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala abdika wa rasulika al-nabiyy al-ummiyy al-hashimiyy al-makkiyy al-madaniyy wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbi irhamuhuma kama rabbayana saghira. Rabbi irhamuhuma kama rabbayana saghira. Oh Allah, shower your choicest blessings on our parents, Allah. Allah, send an angel to enshroud them, Allah. Allah, keep them in your exclusive gaze, Allah. Allah, you nurse them and pet them just as they have nursed us and pet us, Allah. Allah, you grant them good of every kind. Allah, you save them from evil of every nature, Allah. Allah, you help them, guide them, protect them, steer them. Allah, give us the ability to serve them, Allah. Allah, forgive us for our shortcomings, Allah. Allah, they nursed us with love. Allah, they raised us with mercy, Allah. Allah, we snub them. Allah, we were rude to them. Allah, forgive us for our shortcomings, Allah. Allah, let us take their du'as. Let us bring joy to their hearts, Allah. Allah, if we made them tear with pain, let us make them tear with joy. Allah, if we showed them sadness, let us show them happiness, Allah. Allah, if we brought pain to them, let us show joy to them, Allah. Allah, those of us that our parents have left this world, Allah, grant them in a high abode in Jannah, Allah. Allah, elevate their abodes in Jannah. Allah, grant my grandparents and their grandparents and the deceased of the entire ummah in high abode in Jannah, Allah. Allah, make us good parents to our children, Allah. Let us lead with example, Allah. Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes, Allah. Allah, save our children from evil environment, Allah. Save them from immorality, Allah. Allah, save them from zina. Save them from music, Allah. Save them from clubbing, Allah. Save them from womanizing, Allah. Allah, make them obedient, Allah. Allah, make them faithful, Allah. Allah, make them dutiful, Allah. Allah, let us show them and give them every kindness and become good parents and good children. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharri ma ta'adaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.